Just start the music.
Okay, I will. Welcome to Thumcast, where we believe we shouldn't introduce ourselves because you'd already know who we are, except we're going to introduce Madjin because he's never been on the call before and I need to take a breath. Welcome to Thumcast, where we believe we shouldn't introduce ourselves because you'd already know who we are, except we're going to introduce Madjin because he's never been on the call before and I need to take a breath. Hello, Madjin.
Hey.
And we've lost him. Awesome.
No, you didn't.
Can you need interwebs for the meal?
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
I can imagine. So, you clocked how many hours on this game already?
A little too many. I don't know. But a week's worth. So, what's that?
Yeah, a little too many. I want to actually compare.
Wait, quick. Somebody look on Steam.
You've both crossed 100 hours, right?
Oh, let's see. Yeah. Let's check.
I think I'm around 80.
Already?
I'm at a...
According to my Steam, he's still technically in game.
I'm at 100. Exactly.
Yeah, actually, technically, I am.
Oh,
in
I
game.
Think. I think Madjin's beat you there, Austin.
Madjin has played 125.4 hours.
No, I was checking this. I think yesterday, or the day before yesterday, and it was 10 days, and someone was at 100 hours. I think it was Madjin. I was thinking, that literally means that he's spent 10 hours every single day on average since the game came out playing the game.
Maybe.
So, I wanted to briefly, Austin, you've got both Xbox and PC version of Skyrim now, and you started playing on the Xbox, and most of your time is spent there, and now you've got the PC version because mods are starting to come out. So, what do you think?
I like the PC version better, I gotta say. It's smoother, doesn't lag as much, and the graphics are better.
What about load times?
Oh, much quicker. It's like a snap of a finger on the PC.
So, a word of warning here to people who don't have a reasonably up-to-date PC. How long does it take to load the whole outside area for you, Scott, when you leave a building? Five minutes.
Oh, wow. Now I get far better performance than that under Parallels.
Yeah, so there is definitely a minimum specs somewhere around here. I know Dan Bull, the guy who made that awesome rap on his blog, he said that his PC wasn't running it properly. It was lagging, just generally not going well. And one of his commenters said that he was below spec. He ended up getting it on the Xbox. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why consoles are generally more popular than PCs.
Well, it's not just, but some of it's the graphics engine too, because I noticed there was a part of the main quest line that I was playing on the PC where I haven't run into the glitch that I'll talk about later. And I was doing the Battle of Whiterun, and it was lagging really, really terribly. I mean, to the point where it was utterly unplayable, and I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I just can't play this all that well under Parallels. I managed to save the game, quit, restart, and after I restarted, everything was fine. I think there are points where you get, if you played long enough, I'm wondering if this thing leaks memory or does
something
else. Certainly
doesn't do that for me. I have had practically no crashes apart from the very first day with the Skype crashes. Imagine, yeah. You've had quite a few crashes.
Yeah, for me it tells me it's time to stop playing for a little bit. There are three key points where it crashes on me. One, when I load it up in the first place. You know, you get that nice dragon on the screen, and then you get to continue... create a new game. Yeah, that's where it first crashes.
Does it get to continue, or does it crash by never getting to continue? Because I periodically see that,
yeah,
where
you never get to continue. It loads up, puts up the Bethesda logo, gets to the dragon, and just drops.
Yeah, I see that. I also get drops on load screens, transitions between areas, where I've had it just completely crash to desktop. No sign of anything, no Windows error, just
fast
poof, trouble. Gone.
That happens quite often. Well, I mean, not quite often. I mean, over my gameplay time, at least a couple times a day. So a couple times out of every 10 hours. But then there's also points where and thinking about it, I can peg it down. Every fifth or sixth dragon I've killed crashed a desktop right as it dies, and it starts pulling up the soul switch. Yeah, I killed an elder dragon. The first one I killed crashed a desktop. Reload up. Not an elder dragon anymore.
I find this really amazing because crashing in Bethesda games is something really common from the Fallout and Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3, I should say. And this game just has been so rock solid for me. I've been really surprised. There was an update recently put out which adds the DRM to the executable. Now, a lot of people were really upset that Bethesda did this because they liked being able to launch it without Steam. But they kind of, you know, they're kind of in a publishing partnership with Steam. They kind of have to put that in there. It's, you know, it's not, I wouldn't exactly say Bethesda wants to throw the DRM on there. They're publishing on a platform. They have DRM on the Xbox and the PS3 versions as well. You just don't see it because they're on the Microsoft and the Sony networks. So I can forgive them for that. But what really surprised me is one of the mods you can get allows the game to use 64-bit address space, so it's not limited to 2 gigabytes of RAM. And you can't do that anymore. That mod is no longer works.
So what, the DRM thing broke
that
mod?
Looks like it. I don't know what the exact details are, but a lot of people were upset about that. And what I'm sort of sitting back wondering is, why don't Bethesda just add 64-bit support to the game? And coming from a product that was built originally in 16-bit era, then moved to 32-bit era, and now we're moving to 64-bit era, I understand that going from a 32-bit code base to fully working in 64-bit can be kind of tricky. So I hesitantly suggest that they know they have some serious bugs if you turn on 64-bit mode, and the people who are doing it may just not have noticed them yet.
Well, they have some, you know, speaking of bugs, there are some interesting bugs in the game, not in terms of crashes, but just there's lots of people have seen this. If you look in the forums, you'll see this. If you search for season unending Jagged Crown glitch, you'll find the thing that I ran into in my Xbox game, where what I did is I decided to join the Stormcloaks very early in the game. I must have been like level 7, and I, you know, I was talking to whichever Jarl it was, and I said, sure, I'll join your cause. And I didn't think about it again. I went off and did other things levels.
I'll be right back. Yeah. You just wait here.
Right. So for 10 levels, I went and did other stuff, and I was following the Dragon Quest line. And you follow that quest line down, you get to a point where you are supposed to set up a peace conference hosted by the Greybeards, and you go to talk to the head of the Imperial guys, the General Tullius, and then you're supposed to go talk to the Jarl. The problem is, I had started the quest for the Stormcloaks, but never finished it, the one where you're supposed to go off to the island out in the middle of frickin' nowhere and kill an ice wraith. Right. So I hadn't started that quest. So I go back, and I talk to the Jarl, and he says, don't you have a task to do for Galmar? And I go talk to Galmar, and he says, I can't believe you got the Jarl to go to the conference. It's a waste of time. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I go kill the Ice Wraith. They come back, and the conversation hasn't changed. I literally cannot advance either of the main
quests. I've got an interesting conversation.
And apparently, you get the same problem if you do it the other side. If you do it the other side with the Imperials, you can get the same
problem. Yeah, I married Camilla, and that stupid elf keeps visiting her, and I at first I thought, okay, he's just doing some trading, and then, you know, I turn up there, it's almost midnight, and he's walking out of the house, and I'm thinking, what's all this about then? I think she's cheating on me. My wife's cheating on me. So I wait till he comes around the next day and kill him in front of my wife, and she gets all upset. Guards come in, I say, no, look, I'm a Thane, you can't arrest me, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay. And now she won't talk to me at all. So I reloaded, and I thought, you know what? What? Well, anyway, I reloaded. I followed him home, broke into his house while he was asleep, and shot an arrow into his neck. Now everything's happy back at home. No one knows what happened. and the beautiful thing was, he has a book on his shelf saying, killing, kill before you're killed. So I dragged that book over onto his body and left it there.
So you've turned into a serial murderer now, only
well,
with one kill.
I guess the point of the story was, A, well, I don't like that elf. He's very annoying. But B, sometimes they get in a situation where they refuse to talk to you normally ever again. And that's what you saw there. And that's what I saw with the wife. She would not trade with me ever again after that, no matter how long I waited. So I had to pretty much just load back and try again.
Right, but you noticed it right away. You see, the problem for me with this quest glitch is I had joined the Stormcloaks like 10 levels and God knows how many hours ago. And then I finally ran into the glitch way, way further along. And at this point, I'm thinking, do I really want to start completely from scratch, or do I want to wait for the patch? And now, the thing is, if you're on the PC, you don't have to worry about this, because even if you hit this glitch, you can find the set stage command. You can issue it to console.
Because as soon as you use the console, you can no longer unlock any achievements.
That's not true.
Yeah, you can. You can.
I've already had to use it.
You just have to quit and restart. You just have to quit and restart to get achievements. You just can't get achievements in that
session. So you do the command, save, quit, reload, and then you get achievements again? So
yes.
What's the point of that?
It's the same rules as the Fallout. This is the Gamebryo engine rebranded. It's not a new engine.
Let's be fair about the engine. There are obviously bits borrowed from the previous games, but in terms of the graphics world and all that kind of stuff, it's massively different. Massively different.
Yeah, but I'd be willing to bet that the underlying engine is the old...
Well, the AI engine, the Radiant Story, Radiant AI... Radiant AI started in Oblivion. Radiant Story is new in Skyrim. What we're talking about here with these glitches where they won't talk to you or you get stuck in quests and conundrums, that really is the same engine that existed back in Oblivion. So, yeah, I mean, we're used to seeing these kinds of problems, for sure.
Right, and this one, on the Xbox, you have to wait for them to patch it, which is tied up with the whole waiting for the console vendor to have time to put the patch in. So you've got that 1 to 2 or 3 or whatever long period of time it is. However, I'm not even aware of a patch for the PC version on
this
problem.
Well, no, there's more going on than that.
You can work around it with the console, but I don't know of a patch.
People have played the game enough now to get enough of these quests. Like, I'm carrying 3 items from Bard's Guild quests that I've completed the quest, but I still have the item and I can't get rid of it, and they weigh things. And this is a lot of people are starting to get like a treasure trove of stuff that they can't drop because the quests are glitched out. And so I think this patch is really needs to come.
It's coming after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Well, that's the 1.2 patch, which I think predates a bunch of this stuff.
It's not even that. I mean, there's some just basically obvious flaws in the game design when it comes to the stories. I mean, when you have so many quest items that you can't drop and you haven't even started the quest, and there were so many items I have right now that I don't even know what quest they belong to, because they're not associated to anything, but I accidentally picked up, say, Flynn's flute, and now I'm stuck with the stupid thing because I can't go anywhere near Solitude to go talk to the bards because everybody there hates me.
Yeah, I've had the exact same thing. I'm carrying around a hip right now, and I've got no idea what this hip's for. I've got no quest for it.
Probably Plagueis.
Yeah, something like that. And I actually had another situation where I picked up a flute. I think it might be the same flute, the one that you're talking about, and then later got the quest to go and find the flute. And now that NPC won't talk to me. I can't give her the flute that I've already found. It's.
You should be able to sell the hip bone.
It's, like, it's a quest item. How do you sell a quest item?
You can't sell quests.
You can't sell or drop them.
The quest
until you beat it.
It was Shagioth. He's in Solitude. You got to go to the Plagueis Wing. And when you get in there, you use the hip. You know, I don't know what you use the hip bone for, but it's you're given it to by this mad guy, and he wants you to go get his master. And you go, so you go in there, you talk to the maid, get the key, go in there, and then you go to Shagioth's little realm, which is inside Plagueis's head, and you do that whole thing, and then and then afterwards you have this bone just sitting in your inventory.
That sounds cool. I can't wait to do that, actually. So I wanted to get into the Dark Brotherhood quest line. I started with the assassination of the orphanage mother, whatever her name is, Gertrude the Kind or something like that. Then you get the note saying, "We know," with the hand on it. And then you go to sleep and you wake up in this abandoned shack. 3 people with hoods over their heads, and you're asked to decide which one there's a contract on. Well, I'm going to turn this conversation over to Austin in a moment, but I did something that apparently not many people have done, because I didn't find much written about it when I Googled it. I turned around and I killed Astrid.
Yep, that's one of the plausible options.
So she dies, and I get a new quest to wipe out the Brotherhood. So I go and talk to the captain of the guard somewhere, and he's like, oh, we had a spy that's gone missing, and he gave us the passcode to get into the Brotherhood stronghold. So I go in there, and it's just like Terminator walking in, looking for Sarah Connor, and everybody who gets in the way just dies, because I've got my Star Wars Emperor lightning hands shooting out everywhere. And I went from room to room killing them, basically, just taking out the entire assassination guild. One by one. It was great. And I got 3,000 gold reward for doing it, and the Emperor's thanks. And I assume that you can get a hell of a lot more money if you actually do the Dark Brotherhood questline. So, over to Austin. Tell us about the actual Dark Brotherhood questline.
Well, I killed one of those three people. So then you go...
monster!
Well, there was that one annoying girl. I was just like, oh, shut the hell up. And I stabbed her. And so then they're like, all right.
Hey, isn't there like a database of troubled youths that you should be on?
Well, I wanted to be in the Dark Brotherhood because I wanted the achievements. So I went back to the Sanctuary, and they gave me a couple of contracts to go do. And then I came back, and I walked down, and there's Cicero, the guy from the side of the road, standing there with his box. And I'm like... okay, why are you here? And he's like, oh my god, you're the guy that saved me on the side of the road. Thank you so much. Our mother's gonna be really happy. And the mother in the box is the Night Mother from Oblivion. The leader.
That's not what I did when he's on the side of the road. I turned him into the guard. And if you go back to the guy who wanted him turned in, he's dead.
Oh, great.
So continue, please.
So I was way less helpful than I thought.
Oh, yeah, I was helpful. I helped Cicero when I found him. I also went Dark Brotherhood pathline because I went for the assassin plan and got through that. Though later on in the Dark Brotherhood quest, I actually kept Cicero alive, even though he is the most annoying character in the game.
Oh, easily.
I killed him.
Easily.
I didn't care. I just killed him.
No, I kept him. But he is also annoying. The funniest character, depending on the city that you're in. If you go into Winterhold with Cicero as a follower, he starts spewing off very funny stuff.
You can
have to finish the Dark Brotherhood quest line to the point where you've taken over as the listener, and at one point you have to make a choice of killing him or not. And if you don't kill him, then you can't have him as a follower.
Did you finish the Dark Brotherhood quest line?
Yeah, I've killed everything. It was very easy. Nice little force push. When you go to kill off the Emperor, get everybody in one little group with some nice shouting, and then drop a firestorm right in the middle of it.
Okay, so you kill the Emperor at the end of the Dark Brotherhood questline. How much money do you get for this?
20 grand.
Plus, if you listen to the Emperor for a little bit, he asks you to kill the person who set him up. And if you kill that guy, he's got a lot of flawless gems and other stuff sitting on them. So not only do you get the 20 grand, but you get the other stuff on top of it.
Yeah, so killing off the Dark Brotherhood, I knew it would close down a lot of that. Now, I will be doing that line in my next playthrough, probably. Highly likely, because I want the achievements eventually.
You know what's funny is some of the main quest lines, at least as far as I've proceeded them in the games I've been playing, I'm playing two, the main quest lines don't seem as hard as some of the side stuff. Like there's one where you're supposed to put three pieces of an amulet together. It's the Galder
it's
or something
one of the
like that quest.
Line. Yep, I've got
Has
it.
Has anybody else done that one? Yeah. Well, it was picked up in the mage line, and I went and did that. At the end of that, there is a room where you get a bunch of ethereal Draugr, however it's pronounced, and they teleport around the room.
Yeah.
Jeez, they were annoying. I mean, I kept thinking they were dead, and they kept coming
back. Well,
it's
the three guys that you kill along the way to get three fragments. And then when you get to that room, Yeah, well, when you get to that room, you have to kill off all three. Because I went for the assassin slash shadow shadow mage line, all I did was dropped. I had a follower. I threw up a flaming Atrioc and a few other little followers, and it got rid of all the pretend guys, and it made it really easy to peg off the actual guy. Plus, they make good meat shields.
Okay, we see. I'm playing without followers because I've been. They drop like flies around me. They just die. I mean, Jazargo over at the Mage Guild offered to be my follower, and I said, no. I don't need another fine. Thanks.
So let's talk about difficulty for a second here. Somebody on the Facebook group was asking.
I'm going to point something else out on that. I did not lose a follower until MLS pointed out that followers could die to me. I had Lydia. She was the best follower. She tanked everything. And one day on Skype, MLS says, oh, yeah, they can die. I'm like, really? They can? Instantly, within the next 5 minutes, Lydia dies to a dragon.
That's pretty much the way it went for me with Lydia. I kept telling Michael that she was really tough and a good tank. And he said, oh, she'll die. Boom. Next session.
And yet for me, I think I've gotten...
Oh, don't worry, Scott. She'll die. Dragon.
I've gotten her through like 45. She's not going to die.
She's going to die.
Not on my watch.
You got to take better care of her or something.
Michael is a prophet of doom for followers.
I actually had to give up Janessa because I've progressed so far enough into the quest lines that I'm up at levels 43, I think, at this point. Because I've ignored quest lines and just gone off and killed stuff. Janessa was starting to get one-shotted by basic things, even in full glass armor.
So who do you use now?
Now I've got Cicero because I picked him up later. Because I went and Googled it online. Followers do not level up with you, ever.
Oh, they level when they join you.
They join you when they first spawn. So Janessa for me, wow. I ran into her really early. So she wasn't that much of a benefit, though she did have a bit more stealth.
So that's why Lydia dies so easy, because she's basically level
it's whenever you become a Thane and you get her.
Right, yeah. And for me,
so
that was like level
4.
She'll
never get past that point.
That seems like they should fix that. They probably should stick with the levels.
So they don't level up with you like they do in other games, and they don't level up even based on when you accept them as a follower.
It seems
when
to
you
be that way, at least from
them.
What I've seen on Google, and it kind of makes sense. Like, I've got Cicero, and I encountered him on the road really early, but by the time I finally got him as a follower, I was up at about level 40. And he still steps on every bloody trap in the game and sets it off. And he's supposed to be an assassin who's supposed to have extremely high stealth. I've not had to worry about traps for a very long time because I went high stealth very quickly. But that's just silly.
Okay, so there's a question on Facebook about what is the toughest thing you've faced so far. And somebody... put up the ancient dragon. Rubbish. Dragons are easy. No, actually, the hardest thing I've faced off was this mage at the Forlorn camp way down south in some mountains.
Oh, yeah, the Karthspire?
That might be the name of it. But the Forlorn...
The mage that throws the ice picks at you?
I don't remember. He was throwing all kinds of stuff at me.
Yeah, they've died. Basically,
the Forlorn.
They need to be stopped. Those guys just need to be killed. At
I don't
birth.
Know. I don't know what it is about the Forlorn, but they're definitely fighting the hard game to win their land back. That's for sure.
Yeah. They're harder for me because I've only started encountering them late game, because I pretty much ignored that entire half of the map for most of my game. I'm only just going over there now. But for me, Cave Bear. I don't know how many times I've gone fighting a dragon, turn around going, okay, I've used all my stuff. Oh, it's just a stupid cave bear. Whatever. My follower will deal with it, or I'll start shooting some arrows at it. A couple swipes later, because I'm not wearing any big armor, and I'm dead.
Yeah, I have the smallest things kill me because I'm still wearing the Archmage robe, so I can blow most things up with my, you know, with a fireball because I have 77 destruction now, so it blows the crap out of most things. Even the Draugr don't bother me anymore, and those were things I had a lot of trouble with at the beginning of the game. But if bandit chiefs get close to me and they have a, like I had a guy at 1/4 that I went into, he had a two-handed axe that dealt lightning damage. And I made the mistake of letting him get 2 hits on me. That was all it took, because all my magicka went, and then my health went with it.
Yeah, I want to play the game again with a real hands-on character, you know, stabby-stabby, sort of wearing armor sort of thing.
Stabby-stabby.
Because there's another part of this game.
Sorry, Cicero.
Yes. Well, there's another part of this game that we're sort of missing out on as mages, and a lot of us have gone down this mage path, and that is the cool kill animations we get when you do that final blow.
I've kind of went mixed mage assassin, and I've kind of, and it's actually funny, I relied heavily on my magic in the early game, and then slowly but surely I've shifted over to just having a bunch of magic for absolutely no reason, and never using it.
See, now I went the other way. I was using a one-handed weapon for a while, and I was not specializing in it exactly, but I was leveling up in it organically. And I was using that when my magicka was low. But I kept leveling magicka way up, and now I barely use my weapon at all. I just blast the heck out of it.
Yeah, you know, there's a bug with the destruction magic when you get the perk that knocks them back when you do a two-handed strike. While they're knocked back.
Yes, that's pretty
while
awesome.
They're knocked back and they stumble to stand back up again, if you hit them again with a dual strike, they take no damage from it whatsoever. And it's infuriating because it means that I walk into a room, Big Bad is there, and I zap. And then I have to stand there and wait for him to stand back up. Zap. Stand there and wait for him to stand back up. Zap. And then finally he's dead.
And that doesn't happen if you're using swords, because I've knocked down giants and I can still hit them. I actually killed a giant while he was on the ground, kneeling, trying to get back up, and I just finished
See, now
off.
As a mage, do you know how I had their... Oddly enough, the giants I've killed, I haven't killed... I've killed because there's a Jarl up north. I can't remember which town he's in, but he wants to kill giants to teach them a lesson or something.
Wrong lesson.
Go figure. So,
the lesson you meant to learn is to leave them alone.
Right, well, that's pretty much my tack, is, you know, leave them alone. So I figured, how the hell am I going to kill these guys? I can't possibly stand up near them. Well, the first one, I set my shout to the whirlwind dash. You know, so I'd fireball, dash, run, fireball, dash, run, and eventually I kited him to death. That got tiresome, though. The second one that I killed, I figured, you know, I don't even want this guy to see me. So what I did is I climbed a mountain and looked down at him, and I realized my fireball can hit him from here. So I just kept lashing him with the fireball. The poor bastard never knew where I was.
You could have got a heap of sneak if you just gone with an arrow and then crouched down and get critical strikes on that, because he never would have seen you.
Right, but I have no arrow skill.
Yeah, but you
I haven't
don't,
used a bow at all.
Get consistent sneak attacks if you've already gotten one. It usually takes a couple before you get another one, even if they don't see you. I know personally for giants, as I was telling the guys constantly, see giant, learn how to fly. Usually it was me shooting arrows, trying to kite it, and giant catching up, hitting me once, flying me 1,000 feet in the air, and I learned how to see my house from there. I started tossing down fire runes. I got that, did fire runes and some arrows, and then just let my follower constantly get in front. Except that there's one epic battle with a dragon where it just kept picking on the closest giant and some other stuff. I really hate that. Stupid dragons. It's not like fighting a dragon is supposed to be hard, but when they pick on everything around you and make them come fight you.
Well, it's not so bad when they pick on townspeople, because the townspeople just help. It's when they pick on the giants are apparently not incredibly bright, because if they pick on the giants and you're within 100 feet, they decide you're part of the problem. So first they kill the dragon, and then while you're busy absorbing the soul, they come over and decide to give you
what
for.
Oh no, I had it where the dragon has done a flyby on a giant and then went away. And then here I am standing next to the giant going, so...
It's really annoying when they do that.
Yeah, but that giant clip.
So how you do?
Did you like giants? So,
one thing I did find, though...
I got to the end of it, and I discovered...
Oh, sorry. One thing I did find, though, the ice show makes giants go away. Very, very nice.
Really, the which one? The ice breath or the ice shell?
The one that turns them into a block of ice to drop them.
And, oh, okay, so that makes them go away?
One shot.
Huh, nice.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about the werewolf stuff. And I learned a lot about Radiant's story because of the werewolves. Not in a good way. So Scott, you're really enamored with the whole werewolf thing. So why don't you talk about the early quests for the werewolf stuff?
Okay, basically I went in there the first time to join them, and I recognized that Ayla was the one that I had met out in the farm who was killing a giant. And when I went in there, they wanted me to talk to their leader, and then I had to prove myself by going and collecting a piece of their founder's axe that I can't remember his name, is like Yggdrasil or something. And anyway, so I went down to the place to get the piece of axe, and I think Vilkis came with me, and I did that, went back, and then they told me to talk to one of their leaders to do a quest with them. And then I did a quest with Ayla, and we went to, I think, a Silverhand camp and killed some Silverhands. And then after that, they asked me to become one of them, to become a werewolf. And I accepted that and went along and killed some more Silverhands at a fort and stole some plans. I haven't finished that quest yet, but it's coming to a head where I think I'm about to finish off the...
I finished that quest line.
Yeah, you might want to plug your ear holes right now, Scott. So, after you do that, the Silverhands, they attack the base of the companions, and the leader gets killed. And so you go on a revenge quest to basically wipe out the Silverhands completely. And I never felt entirely right doing those quests, because as I went through their place, it looked like a lot of people lived there. You know, you'd see like a shelf. Yeah, I mean, it just didn't seem like they were criminals. But anyway, after you've done all of that, they have an argument in the Underforge of maybe we should be honoring Roar Slack, or whatever his name was. And they say, you know, we can actually cure him of his werewolfism even in death. So you go to his tomb. You've got to go get these witches' heads. So that was an area of the map that I've been completely ignoring for a long time. So I went over there, got these witches' heads, came back, and you go to the tomb, and that thing you've been collecting all the bits for, you at the Overforge, he repairs it, comes to the Underforge, and then you take that back to the tomb, right? So there, in there in the tomb, you can throw a witch's head in this blue fire and then kill a spirit wolf, and the dead leader is free of his werewolfism. So they then claim on various web pages that you can throw another witch's head in and cure your own werewolfism.
You can. I did that.
Only on the Xbox. It turns out on the PC, first you have to do a bunch of quests for Falkus, and then Vilkis, and Ayla. So what I found out is that the Radiant story system has three layers of progression that unlock a unique quest thing, I guess you would say, one that ends the Radiant story path. So the first layer of Radiant stories with Falkus was get in a brawl with someone. With Vilkis, it was capture a prisoner or rescue a prisoner or what, things like that. And with Ayla, it was kill some animals or troll or something like that. And you have to do a bunch of these. If you swap between the characters, the Radiant story thing seems to forget where you're up to things and focuses only on a person at a time. So if you're going to do this, keep going back to the same person. So I also discovered that if I went to Vilkis first, the likelihood of getting the unique quest from him was a lot lower than if I went to Falkus first. So going to Falkus after a couple of his getting to brawl with people things, he ended up saying, I have a personal matter. I want to cure myself of the werewolf stuff too. So we went back to the temple, the tomb, threw another witch's head in, killed another wolf, still couldn't cure myself. So then I went to Vilkis, and mind you, by now, I have done these petty little Radiant stories probably about 20 times. This is why I'm So back to Vilkis, do a couple of things for him, and finally he says, yeah, I've got a personal matter. So we go and cure him of his werewolf stuff then. And then and only then could I cure myself. So Radiant Story has quite a few little gotchas like that. And yeah, it has three layers that you've got to go through to get to the unique quest lines. Ayala doesn't want to be cured, by the way. Her unique quest line is to fetch these rare artifacts that are werewolf related.
Funny thing is, I had nothing to do with the werewolf line in my current story, but I still killed off all the silver bludge just because.
I've done that a few times. I went to this keep. I have no idea what I went to the keep for. I killed everybody in it.
I've never even seen a werewolf in the game. How did you guys?
Oh, there's one of the companions. I just wandered right in and slaughtered him.
Oh, the companions.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Later I came across this guy, and I got in a fight with someone local, and this guy's bodyguard died helping me out. So I went and talked to the guy, and he's like, "I've been away in the war. Can you help me get my home back? It's been overrun by bandits. Yeah, you can sneak in the back way." So I snuck in the back way, and everyone's dead, and I'm thinking, "Whoa, this is an interesting plot." And as I progress through, I notice that no one's carrying any gold on them. And then when I finally get to the outside, I realize, oh, I've been here before. So I ended up having to kill like one
This person. Is an interesting plot I don't recognize from this direction. Well,
it was more like the thing that really clued me in was the fact that none of these dead people were carrying any gold.
Yep.
A similar thing happened to me. I found this place called the Swindler's Den all by myself. I went in there, killed everybody, left, and then I found the In My Time of Need quest where that woman, Red Guard woman, wants you to take out these assassins. And I end up going to the back to the very same place, the Swindler's Den. But only for me, all the bandits came back.
Yeah, so things do respawn. Austin's confirmed that ores respawn, loot respawns, bandits respawn. Even
dragons
something
respawn.
Clear.
Well, the Forsworn definitely respawn, because if you go back to Karthspire, I had wiped that whole area out, and then I went back and that damn mage with his ice spikes was back.
Yeah, so it's definitely, in some ways it's not worth going to a place unless you have a quest associated with it.
But not every place respawns. You know, some places are listed on your map as clear.
No,
they
don't.
Clear.
No, the dragon lairs respawn.
No, even there's this bridge that's north from Whiterun, and I have cleared out that place maybe four or five times now.
It seems to depend on the area, because there are places I've gone back that definitely have stayed cleared. I mean, like,
as soon as you start a Radiant Story quest, it picks a location, picks the kind of monster, picks the kind of loot, puts it all together, and offers you the quest. At that point, if a place is cleared, it may get reused by Radiant Story anyway. And that, I don't know, that seems like a bug to me.
Yeah, no,
Well, I just know the Sarthal has never respawned for me. I've gone back there a couple times for different quest things that have sent me back there, and it's never been refilled.
No, I know Volenrood. I cleared it out all by myself, did the whole thing, completely cleared it out, and then I think one of the Dark Brotherhood lines sends you back there, and it was completely respawned. And even after I re-cleared it out, it respawned everything, including the stuff that was outside. So all the gold and everything in the little jars and everything was completely back to normal, including all the Drugar. So it was wipe everything out more than once, even though it was listed on the map.
That's really weird.
So Austin really wants to talk about Act 1 of the main quest. And we're getting some excellent lag there in Skype. So, Act 1. Let's talk Act 1. Act 1 starts with Unbound, then goes to Before the Storm, Bleak Falls Barrow, Dragons Rising, The Way of the Voice, and The Horn of Jürgen Windcaller. And that's where Act 1 stops. So
it stops at a Blade in the Dark, actually.
Yeah, well. So who here found the horn yet? I mean, I know some people haven't. Sorry, did you just say you haven't?
Found the horn. Stop. I have not. I know. There's so much to do, damn it.
Even I've gotten there in my glitch.
I know his feeling.
He told me I can make iron daggers level myself up, and I've been leveling my smithy.
Yeah,
up like
but
crazy.
I still.
I make jewelry because it's a better worth of my time.
I really want to make dragon armor before I start doing other
but
stuff.
But you visited the Greybeards, right?
I want to.
And they've told you to go and get the horn.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yes.
And by found the horn, he means
spoilers,
found a
luck.
Note.
Tough luck. At this point, tough luck.
Spoilers for Act 1 at this point, yeah.
We will talk about Act 2 soon enough. And there's a lot more to Act 2 than there is in Act 1. But this actually brings up an interesting thing that I read on the Steam forums about the game. And it was a guy who was saying that he played every Elder Scrolls all the way up until this one. And he said that of all the Elder Scrolls games, he was disappointed in this game, which... For me, I'm just sort of shocked by this. And what he was trying to explain was all of the main quest and all of the faction quests were short. And in many respects, he's actually correct. These quest lines are really quite short. I mean, you can speed run the main quest in 2 hours and 15 minutes or whatever it was. And that kind of raises an interesting point because the quest line in Fallout New Vegas... was long, but the quest line in Fallout 3 was short, and you could take shortcuts in Fallout 3 mm-hmm. to shorten the main quest even further. And that's
actually in Fallout 3 there were points where you could just skip
and the same is actually true of the main quest of this one. So this is Bethesda here. This isn't, you know, Obsidian is making these longer quests, but Bethesda has shrunk these quests down to be rather to the point and short. But what they've given you that's different to the other games is just the breadth of stuff you can do. There's just so much of it. And it's overwhelming. I mean, my quest log is just massive. Massive.
Yeah, and you seemed annoyed that the companions log was...
I was annoyed that so the long. Radiant stories were blocking the cure to werewolfism. That's what I was annoyed about. And the actual companions quest line is quite short, actually. In fact, the longest questline may have actually been the Mages one, possibly the Thieves one. I've heard people say that the Dark Brotherhood one is the longest, but I obviously don't know that.
No.
I haven't done any of those. The Mage one is a decent-sized quest.
The Dark Brotherhood one, it can be considered long if you consider a vast quantity of Go Kill That as long, but I don't think I've spent more than half a second on most of those kill quests. Literally walk up, sneak, or go into sneak mode, kill, walk away. And that was pretty much every single kill for all those types of quests. The core quests, though, a little longer, but not so bad.
So, Mackie, you're our resident Elder Scrolls expert. What do you think of this opinion that the quest lines are too short in Skyrim?
If you know where you're going and stuff, any questline in any game is going to be really short. I mean, the first time you play through, it takes longer because you don't know where you're going and everything. But, you know, like the second time going through Oblivion or the second time going through Morrowind, I could just go boom, boom, boom because I knew where stuff was. I mean, unless this... I don't know how it seems shorter. I feel like I've hardly got... I've done this long list of quests. I still have this huge list of quests I'm supposed to do. I feel like I've hardly gotten anything done, and I've got 50-something hours in the game.
Yeah, actually, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, I don't have the same experience of the previous Elder Scrolls games and claiming that the quests are longer. I definitely have the experience from the Fallout games. The quests in New Vegas were longer, especially the main quest. But in this game, I don't feel like they're short at all.
Well, New Vegas had basically one quest line. I mean, you could take three paths to the end, but it had one quest line that ran
and
from start to finish.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of side things you could do, but the side things in New Vegas were all tiny stuff. I mean, they were small quests, they were tiny things. The main quest line was the game. That was the game. In Fallout 3, that wasn't the case. There was the main quest line, it was a major part of the game. But there were whole areas where you could go to where there were things that had no relationship to the game. It took quite a while.
And there was no real reason to go to any of those places. And that's where Radiant Story steps in and changes things. You know, if there were a Fallout 3 done by Bethesda today with this engine, all of those random places, you know, the Republic of Day up in the very top right-hand corner of the map... they would somehow be linked into what you were doing when you visited places and talked to people. And that... So that is, I guess, the strategy they've gone for in Skyrim.
Right. Well, that's the thing about Skyrim is that I think, even though there are the two main quests, there's the Civil War, and there's the Dragon thing. But you can cheerfully go along paying no attention to those. And I can tell you that based on the fact that my main quest is totally glitched, so I can't possibly advance it. And there's still lots to do.
That's Elder Scrolls game tradition. Yeah. Is it main plot? What main plot?
I mean, I finally advanced the main plot where I went with the Blades to go check out the Aldrin's Wall and went back to check out whether or not there was the Dragonrend ability, but I haven't bothered going past that point. I've just been mostly wandering around doing whatever I feel like.
Oh,
small quests.
You should do that point. You should do that just far enough to get the Dragonrend, because let me tell you, dragon battles are so cool when you have the Dragonrend.
Yeah, I would say, for people who are playing the game, don't want to finish the main quest a la Elder Scrolls Tradition, I would also recommend you play up to the end of Act 2, get Dragonrend, and possibly stop at that point. The last act of the game, for me, was really short. Act 2 is the longest part of it, for sure. And it takes you to some really exciting and interesting places that are challenging. Act 3 flies by. Act 1 flies by, too. But when you get that Dragonrend, that's a whole bunch of shouts that you get leading up to that. And unlocking at the end of Act 2 to get the Dragonrend. They're really super useful.
I do find that the shouts that you don't get through the main quest are actually better. At least for my utility, anyways.
Yeah, but they're not useful. I mean, this is an interesting problem, right? As a mage, as an archmage with my destruction at 100%, I don't need it. I've got fireballs. I've got fire spray. I've got ice spray. I've got all of those shouts. I've already got them. It's what I was kind of hoping for with the shouts was stuff that, I mean, that's useful if you're not playing a mage character. If you're playing a mage character, it's just redundant.
Well, no, I'll say one thing. The turn things to ice I use as a mage simply because the toughest thing in the room I'll usually try to turn into an ice block, because that takes them out of commission for long enough for me to waste everything else in the room.
Not to mention that there's the flavor shouts as well. The fear shout to make everything run away, or the kind's peace shout to tell animals to stop bothering you.
That's a spell.
Yeah.
That's also a spell.
Oh, the aura, actually. Also a spell. I think the aura is the one I spam the most because I'm stealthy. So I spam out the aura, aura whisper, so I can see everything.
That's also a spell.
Can you get the?
Yeah, I've got a spell to protect it.
Because apparently, I meant the one that you can shatter a person into non-existence.
No, there are a couple of shouts that are unique, but the majority of the shouts that you can find just going to various places, along the mage lines,
But if you're not,
you've already got them.
I suspect
if you're not a mage, it's a lot.
Right, I suspect that if you're not a mage, I bet they're a lot more useful because, I mean, maybe Scott can speak to this, but I can see that if you're trying to bash things, you definitely could use some of these things to take out the idiot throwing spells at you from a distance.
Yeah, because I used fire breath to just take out bandits. Two bandit archers were shooting at me from a distance. I just shout fire breath at them, and both of them die. There was like three mages shooting lightning at me. I go fire breath, and they all
die.
Awesome.
They can block fire from dragons.
Yeah, they can absorb magic as well, which is very useful.
Yeah,
so I think
if you bash
this game
on the head, you can knock it back.
Yeah. I've got pictures of a dragon who tried to come crash landing at me, and all they did was one mace swipe and it died. It left a nice little trail behind it. It was horribly ineffective attempt by the dragon to kill me.
So in terms of keeping the game balanced, as I'm leveling up over level 40 now as a mage with destruction 100, right? It's my main weapon of choice is using magic. But the things like the Forlorn, right? Some of the regular Forlorn archers, or just guys with swords, they can take three hits of fireball, dual cast fireballs now, and there's no recourse, right? I can't make stronger spells. I'm already at the end of the spell line. And I've already sunk all of these perks and points into the magic, so I can't level up my sword play or archery play fast enough to keep up with the monsters that are going to be attacking me. So I think the balance on the mage destruction side is a little off.
Do smithing.
Yeah, but that's the point, right? As I'm gaining levels doing smithing, that means the monsters I encounter get stronger, but my ability to fight them doesn't.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Well, no, you have to just fight smarter.
Yeah, in the bashing and even in the archer department, it's a static progression as
well,
the materials go up.
Well, I don't have a problem fighting
smarter, but it... Yes, yeah. But come on, I'm sniping people from... I have really high sneak and I'm sniping people from a distance. I should be able to one-shot these guys, and now it's getting into two- and three-shotting. Something is off here.
Have you actually, more importantly, have you improved all the perks? I noticed, like, there's some perks in the archery tree and the sneak tree.
Yeah, our archery is one of the trees I've got the heaviest investment
I've done
in
this,
in sneak.
Mostly the same, plus one-handed. And I'm still one-shotting everything with sneak. Unless it's one of those slightly bigger things. So I'm not sure if there's something else going on there, like the type of bow that you're using might help.
Someone said that they, as a thief...
Oh, and arrows. Arrows matter.
Hang on, we're all colliding here. We've got a bit of Skype lag. Mackie, go.
I was saying I'm up to an elven bow now. But the only things I could get better now would be, I think, to if they have glass bows. I don't know if they do. I know there's a Daedric bow. You know, I'm getting up there. Okay, and ebony. Yeah, so I don't have much more materials I can move up. I'm only like a level in the mid-20s is the actual level. My archery is almost to 50. My sneak is nearly to 70.
Oh, you got a long way to go. No wonder you're not one-shotting stuff.
What do you mean? I was one-shotting stuff in the beginning, and then suddenly I can't hit things for crap.
Well, that's because they're bigger. They've leveled. And you're not using better weaponry.
I started out with an ancient Nord bow, for crying out loud. Now I'm using an elven bow. I'm only mid-leveled. Why is it suddenly more difficult?
Well, because they've also gotten bigger and started wearing armor and started wearing shields. But my... I've got an ebony bow that I threw some flame on and Daedric arrows. And
okay, well, I think what we need to do is see what happens when the patch comes out, because they may address some of these balance issues. But I think we've got a lot of content here already. It was great having you on, Magin. Before we go,
mods.
I just want you to talk about... No, we'll talk about mods another time. I want you to talk about some of the interesting exploits with followers.
Canada doesn't want us to know the secrets.
Yeah, the secrets are lost in time, and we will come back to that later. But for now, we're going to just do the outro, and James will have a lot of editing he needs to do. So
apparently I need to build character
apparently
time.
You need to do a lot of editing tonight. That's what's going on here. And we're just going to pretend that we can't hear Magin right now. So if you've missed an episode, you need to subscribe to the iTunes feed. You want to join the Facebook group or you want to join the Steam group. You can find these links and more at www.jarober.com/thumcast, T-H-U-U-M-C-A-S-T. And that'll be all from us for now. And hopefully next time we won't have too much internet trouble. Bye for now.